Good morning. 00 hours. Showers. 45 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 46 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 47 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 47 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Showers. 47 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Showers. 48 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees.
K8RUH.
Well, look who popped out on Prince Spaghetti Day. WHRCY says good morning.
Good morning, Donald. What was the race?
No race until this Sunday. Last weekend was practice and qualifying. A lot of accidents, a lot of penalties, a lot of just a mess. Thank God I don't do it for a summertime job anymore. I don't even know why they're calling some of these penalties they're calling, but it is what it is. And anyway, but the race is this weekend, and we're looking at about 60 degrees with partly sunny skies, so, yeah, that's the good thing.
Very cool. Are you going back down, or you were just down there for the one weekend?
No, there's four of us that go down every year, and we've been doing it for quite some time now that I'm pretty much out of the IndyCar side of officiating. I don't do that anymore. Only worked one race. Two races since 2018 when I stepped away from that side of it. Like I say, I'm on the sports car side now. And I may be going back next year, too, to that because they're adding an additional endurance race. And that's all the races I do, races that are 6 hours long or longer, the max being 24 hours. You have 24 hours of continuous racing going. You need all hands on deck. And, yeah, those are the ones that you enjoy working. You eat well, too. That's another story for another day.
Sounds like fun. I bet it's quite the experience being around all those cars for long periods of time. So that's awesome.
Sounds like nobody else is up yet. Yeah, it is. It's exciting. It's fun. I mean, there's a fun element to it, but there's the serious side, the officiating side, you know, cheaters and, you know, things that you're not supposed to be doing. That sometimes people get caught. Sometimes it's an oversight. It happens by accident. You just got to determine was it an accidental oversight or were they actually cheating. So, but, it's challenging. It's rewarding. It's number one priority is keeping everybody safe. And when I mean everybody, we're talking not just race drivers. We're talking just a common fan. A guy who's there with his young son, and his young son might just wander off into an area that he or she may not be supposed to be in, and our job is to watch out for that kind of stuff too. So, it's a lot of responsibility, but we have our moments of fun and we have our moments of comical things. But again, there's many of stories I could tell about that, but that's for another time and another day. So, anybody else out there? I mean, I know Dakota's been out there lately. And if he's gone, he's up yet. I think Sean might be taking a personal day. I guess he's got family in town or family in the area. And that's what might be going on. If not, it's just going to be you and me.
Yep, sounds like nobody's out there. Well, unfortunately, I called out near the end of my ride. I'm pulling into the parking lot now. I was just seeing who was out there and haven't paid a whole lot of attention in the last few days, so I didn't know what time they were getting on. Maybe I'll listen in about 10 minutes when I get into the office or something and see if other folks hop on. But for now, I'm pulling into the parking lot. So I'll catch up with you soon, Donald. This is KE8RUH, and I'll be clear after your final.
W8RCY. We'll be sandbagging, listening. I got to go find the coffee pot. And one last thing before you step inside, if you're still on the air, I usually get on the air about 6:30. Sometimes 6, but it's usually about 6:30 I turn the radio on. Good morning, Dakota. We just had Anthony sign off. They try to put the radio when he gets back into the building there. He just arrived at work and parked. Happy Wednesday. Not much new here except for this drizzly, crazy, wet weather.
Yeah, I could run through without the rain, and I always forget that Anthony is an early bird, and I wonder how long he's doing that for.
I guess I'll take it. I think he's here for the summer. He's got it like that or throughout, not the whole summer, he said, but I remember he said he's got it for, through the summer. I don't know. Supposedly gets off at 3:30 now, and so other than that, oh man, I'm telling you, I'm just sick and tired of this wet weather and cold weather. I was talking to the maintenance supervisor yesterday. I saw him. I said, your maintenance worker that replaced a little gerbil on the wheel and got my air conditioning going, you got to fire that guy. Why do I got to fire him? Because he did too good of a job. Not only is my apartment cold, but, everything within 100 miles of the campus is cold. It makes you really, really good.
47 degrees.
Too good.
Yeah, this has been a brutal spring. I guess summer doesn't technically start till what, mid-June, though, according to the calendar? At this rate, I don't know if we're ever going to get a summer. I think that was Sean. Go ahead. Wait, Sean's not on today, I don't think. I think he's got some things he's got to handle. So whoever that was, go ahead.
Wow, I'm doing impressions of Sean now. I must be getting good at this. You could usually pick out my voice. No, that was me who finished off my sentence by saying too good. Anyhow, I'm just, like I said, we have a massive field, maybe about a couple hundred yards deep alongside the Quinder here, and it's just a wooded field. Nothing's on it. There's no anything going on, and but it's thick, and Ascension Macomb Oakland Hospital is on the other side of it, and that's about a five-story hospital. Before I left for Indy, I could see the hospital. When I got up this yesterday morning or Monday morning and stuff, the hospital was gone. It was just covered by trees. I can't even see the downtown Detroit skyline anymore. I won't see it now until late fall, early winter. That's how thick it gets out here. And then, of course, you can't see the ground. You can't see the deer or, any critters, foxes, whatever goes running around in there. It's nice to look at now because it's all nice and green, but and the colors in the fall are nice. But like I said, I've got one big tree right outside my window here that's probably about, maybe 30, 40 feet taller than my balcony. So I'd say it's probably about a 120-foot tree. But that tree's going to come down soon because it's dying out. So, I'm still above the skyline of the tree line of the field, so my signal will still get out somewhat.
That really did sound like someone else, so now I feel like an idiot. Well, hopefully they leave the trees. I'm sure Ascension probably owns that, and they're sitting on it for when they need to expand their campus. But too many buildings going up, too many trees getting cut down, and I am by no means a tree hugger. I just can't stand cities.
K8RUH, what's going on, Dakota? I'm back for a few minutes, Donald.
Yay! Dakota, go ahead.
Morning, Anthony. How's the early days treating you? I was just thinking, it's like, man, I would love to do a 7 to 3:30. That gives you a lot more afternoon than getting home at 5.
You know, it's been tough a few days, but getting up early. But otherwise, this is the schedule, man. You know, I still end up getting home and doing a little work every now and again, but man, it is nice to be home by 4 o'clock. I was just thinking on my way home yesterday, I would do 6 to 2:30 if I was in a position to do that, but definitely not the role that I'm in today would I be able to work those hours. So, but, yeah, man, what a great schedule this is.
Back in my younger days, I was a meat cutter for Farmer Jack's, and I would start at 7 in the morning and be home by 3:30, out by 3:30. And that was the schedule to have, but the opposite of the schedule was like 2:30 to 11 at night, especially when some of these Farmer Jack's were starting to open up at 24 hours a day schedule. But there was a schedule we used to start in some stores 5:30, 5 to 1:30 and 6 to 2:30. And that's when you had to come in on a Monday morning and clean the counters, and when nobody's really in the store, and you got to go out there with a hose and pull the counter, put all the stuff in refrigeration, and wash down the counters, the grates, the coils underneath, check for leaks, stuff like that. So that was like maintenance work. But you were out of there at 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon. In the summertime, that was nice. That was a nice schedule. But that's about the only time I ever had a luxury schedule like that. Dakota?
I can't complain too much. 2 to 3 days a week, I'm 7 to 4. So it's not terrible. The downside is call road and trying to get home at that time. That adds, 35, 40 minutes. The other days, 7 to 5, 7 to 6, whatever, as they come. But 7 to 3:30, I agree. That is the sweet spot. My first career job was 7 to 4 consistently, and it was like we were hourly but capped, so it was really kind of a salary position. So you were 8 hours a day, period. And 4 o'clock, like if you didn't get overtime approved, I was out the door. So it was kind of nice because I didn't have the responsibilities I have now, so I could actually walk away from stuff. But yeah, man, especially during the summer, that is 100% the way to go.
Yeah, in the summer, it's perfect. It's super easy, you know, to get up, not on days like today, but, you know, the sun's coming up before 6 o'clock now. So, you know, you're rising with the sun, and then I'm home for, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours before I go to bed and can get all kinds of stuff done. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, for me, like I said, working the schedules when I was working at Farmer Jack's, we got the midnight crews that come in and do restocking, and, you know, they're on a totally 12-hour different shift or so, and or an 18-hour different shift. I would stop, you know, and they come in at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they don't leave until 6 in the morning as the day crews are coming in, and it's just like you just pass each other, you know. Hey, Dakota, how you doing? How's the wife and family? All right, see you in a couple of days. Bye. You know, that's about it. That's how it worked. But, yeah, it wasn't, like I said, for me it wasn't too bad. We never really had any overnight shifts between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. What was in the counter for people to buy, those 24-hour stores, that's all that was there. No custom cutting, nothing. You just shut the place down, because every night you got to tear the place down and clean and sanitize it. That's an every night thing. You're in there with power machines to do that. It's not just learning how to mature and package and make, merchandise the product. You got to clean up, too. And I don't know. I don't think they ever brought in teams to do that, you know, like a night crew that would come in and scrub things down for you. But, I mean, because meat cutting back in the day was a journeyman skill. It was a union journeyman skill. I think I still have my journeyman's card from 1974, rather. I might have it. But, yeah, that's a union job, union scale, all the things from what unions used to be. But, yeah, those are the days. Dakota?
I remember as a kid, that was the grocery store that we went to. It was Farmer Jack, the one. It was now a Kroger at 30 and Van Dyke, and I think I would trade Kroger for Farmer Jack any day of the week. I just little Kroger's not the best grocery store, but Farmer Jack, I do remember that, and I love that place. And growing up, my mom would stay at home, so like we didn't eat out or anything, so like we'd go to the grocery store and we would eat at home. And that's pretty much what I remember of Farmer Jack. Now it's the opposite. I feel like I eat out every day, and I hate it. But, Anthony.
Yep, I remember there was a Farmer Jack at Cass and Gross back in Mount Lemons growing up. That's the store that we always shopped at. And then they put a Kroger, Crocker, and 16 Mile. And then we started going to that one. But, yeah, Farmer Jack. Always. There was one right downtown Mount Clemens on Market Street, and it's where we went, right next to Perry Drugs.
I worked the grand opening at the one at Market Street in downtown Mount Clemens across from the old, it's the new court building's old parking structure, which is now demolished and gone. But yeah, that building is no longer a grocery store. It is now a county administration building, annex type thing, with a big new glass tower administration building. But that's what's in there. I didn't think there's a Secretary of State's office in there now. And then they built the Buffalo Wild Wings on there and other things. But yeah, I don't get there over there that much. Anymore, so I don't know exactly what's there, but I know there's some kind of Macomb County Services building and possibly a Secretary of State. That store was the old number 65. Store number 65 did that grand opening.
Okay. Curves and hills where I usually drop out on my sounding real quick.
coming in pretty rough. But, hey, guys, I got to get to it, so I'll try to hop on again tomorrow or this afternoon and catch up with you gentlemen later. This is K8RUH. We'll talk to you soon.
Okie dokie. Have a good day. Stay dry. I mean, it's not going to rain hard, but you have to go outside or something. Just run between the mist, I guess, is what it's going to be like, a misting rain all day. For identification, W8SCY. Dota, yeah, you're sounding a little scratchy there, so I figured you're in that bad area. But, you want to try it again? If not, we'll put this on pause for a minute and see if there's anybody else out there.
Have a good one, Anthony. I've got to talk to you later, man. Donald Patch, trust me, I don't care. There's an absolute hole where radio does not want to get out. Speaking of radio, I was in my attic last night for wire with the transformer. I was able to stuff up there, and surprisingly, it worked. So for the time being, I at least have an HF antenna again.
Yeah, my experience with HF was back in the day when I bought a Radio Shack shortwave radio and listened in, you know, ran on like 6D batteries if you didn't have the AC cord. But, I just don't have an interest in talking around the world. I never did, and that was part of the reason why I never got into amateur. But, like I say, I still use commercial radios for racing. CMRS since 1978, and I'm just looking to expand, and, you know, the late Professor Don was the one who twisted my arm to help with Sean, Bill, all these other brighter minds than mine got me to do it. And as a matter of fact, my older sister has a friend she grew up with, and her husband was a ham operator, and when I was 18, she said, oh, no, you got to get into this, you know, and everything. And I got my license back in August. I called my sister, and I told her I did it. I said, you need to call Barry out in Jackson, Barry's husband, and tell him that I finally got my ham ticket. And he couldn't believe it, but I haven't had a chance to try to talk to him yet on anything. Now with this new technology, there's got to be a way I can get out to Jackson somehow. But, next project for me is getting an antenna out here. With the spoilage that we were talking about, something that will penetrate into downtown. After I get the rest of my Motorola's updated, I got a Motorola mobile unit, 40-45 watt unit for a base station, and I'm just running that small glass antenna. That makes it into downtown just fine, but I just want to get something better. So I'm looking into beams and things like that, small beams I can mount on my balcony in the corner and have it point down the throat of Detroit. And go from there.
Well, the plus side of you getting your ticket is experiment with a whole bunch of stuff now. I always say it's a ticket to learn, not a ticket to operate. You got that going for you. Try out whatever you want. See what works and see what doesn't. Have fun, in my opinion. And I got on the radio on kind of a bet / joke. His apartment to try to take the test, and they couldn't pass it. They said it was really hard. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, I guarantee you I could get it. So, back to me that I couldn't. Got the tech. And regretted not getting general, but I just kind of, like I said, did it as a joke. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I do. So eventually, I think a year later, I got general. And kind of snowballed out of control from there. I'm not a huge on talking around the world either. I'm not big on the whole digital FTA stuff. What I do like is just kind of tuning around listening and the quota stuff. I do like the local contact, stateside contact. And I've been getting more interested in local contacts, like 80 meters, to where, you know, the guys in Macomb County and I can all actually hear each other. But I agree. I'm not interested in DXing to Europe and Africa and all that. It's cool. I've done it, but it does not pique my interest.
nobody else out there. Like I said, my footprint is UHF, been UHF forever. So EHF, HF, 7-800 stuff that you can do, 900 stuff you can do. Don't want to go that far. You're talking about law enforcement. Yeah, I grew up in Sinclair Shores, and I've known a lot of law enforcement personnel that have come and gone. Scanners was my thing, and you might be a little too young to remember crystal scanners. We had to buy those little things that were the size of a chiclet, stick them in the little box, and turn it on, and the little lights scan like the front of the kit car, and you're listening to all your local city, municipalities, police, and fire departments. So that's how radio started more with me with scanners before, of course it was TV in the 70s, but real serious communications came for me with scanners and law enforcement communications and things like that. So that's how I got into it. As far as being a cop, I would have never become a cop, even though I was interested in it. And all these guys that helped me get my licenses and my tickets and my equipment, a lot of the people in the Shores Police Department were wanting me, we'll help you get it, because, it's all different now. You've got academies, you got to get a degree, you have to get a law enforcement degree. That's what goes on today. But back in the day, it's like trying out for the school basketball team. And it was totally different back then, but there's an oral part of the test, and it's scenarios and things like that. And I was just one of these guys that would have shot first and then asked questions later, And it's man, why did you shoot me? I said, you robbed the bank. You got to call for an ambulance? No, I need you for you to tell me if you ask, answer the question. Why did you rob the bank? Man, I'm bleeding out here. I don't care. If you didn't rob the bank, I wouldn't have shot you, but you still got to answer the questions kind of a thing. That was my mentality. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Okay, TMR.
Morning, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just finished my drop-off. Turned it on. Heard some chatter. Wanted to say good morning.
Good morning. Dakota's up next on the rotation.
Yeah, Donald, I actually was starting school for law enforcement my freshman semester at Ferris, and then I decided I didn't want to do that. So I was right there with you. I didn't want the liability, responsibility, all that stuff. Phil, on the other hand, Phil's a new ham. He's kind of going through similar learning curves that you're dealing with right now with the node. I know you haven't gotten that far yet, but yeah. So say hi to Phil. Phil's a new ham in the area, and hopefully he's bringing some more on.
Good morning, Phil. Welcome. Call sign here is WHRCY. First personal is Donald, and I'm out in the Madison Heights area. And I just got my ticket back in August after a 50-year delay. Or 50 years of procrastinating, I guess is the proper word. And Cole and I are talking about what pretty much got us into radio and so on and so forth. But I started in, scanners, TV radios, and then I got involved in commercial radio, GMRF, stayed there all these years. So that's it on me. Can we get your call sign one more time so I can put it in the log, please? And again, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Donald. Nice to meet you. Call sign is K8TMR.
K8, T as in Tom, MR.
Yes, sir. And the name's Phil, and I'm kind of Mount Elmont, but currently I'm driving back from my morning drive to take my son to school in Warren, so.
That's further than Dakota's got to drive. Warren to Elmont, and Warren to, or Elmont to, I think, Macomb Township or Clinton Township out there. Wow, that's a drive. Over to you, Dakota.
Yep, there's not a whole lot close to Elmont, and this whole 53 thing, I still don't know what's going on. Like, the off-ramp at 53 was backed up a mile, and there's no cones out or anything, so just adding to my commute. Phil, you sound fantastic, by the way. I know you're probably right on top of the repeater, but you sound great. And you guys may or may not have talked on GMRS, because if I'm not mistaken, Phil, where you started.
Yeah, I think your voice sounds familiar, Donald. I did start on GMRS. Had that for about a year. Actually, I had no interest on the ham side and kind of was talking to Jack back and forth. And when he got his ticket, kind of motivated me and ended up studying, taking a test maybe a month ago, a little over a month ago. So ended up getting my technician, and then about a week later ended up studying and getting the general. So here I am now trying to learn this side of it. So over to you, Donald.
Okay. Well, when I put your information in my logbook, if I do a cross check, I'll find your GMRS call sign there and hook it up, and yeah, I'll probably remember you. But yeah, I've been on GMRS since 78, except for a couple of 5-year gaps during my time of marriage and stuff like that. But I've been out on the Troy repeater a lot more so than the network side. But I've been around, and I'm so old I have to be around. You're this old. So, again, welcome. And you're already ahead of me because I don't have my general yet. I have other obligations, and the goal is to start studying probably, I was going to say mid-July, but let's just say August 1st, I'll start studying for the general. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't need, because of my restrictions here, I live in an HOA, senior citizen campus, so I can't be putting antennas up around. Lucky to get away with what I get away with. But so that need isn't there. I want to do it for the prestige, and I want to do it for people like the late Professor Don from the GMRS side. He was an extra ham and all that. He was very knowledgeable, and he was very arm-twisting for me to get my ham ticket. And then all the other guys that are on both sides of the frequency band, ham operators that are GMRSers and GMRSers who became ham operators because of the guys in ham. So there's a great group of guys here on the amateur side that have knowledge from the GMRS side, like us. So it all balances out in the wash, so to speak. So welcome. I'll get you on there. AAT and Tom MR. Okay, I got it written down.
Up and getting your general is how much all these things cost. The never-ending rabbit hole of gear and things you want to try. I'm trying to not peer pressure him, but I know at some point, well, one of these days you can just come over and flip around on my radio and see what you think before you buy anything.
Yeah, no, like I said, I started with the technician and wasn't sure about doing anything in the general, but I figured while everything was fresh in my head, might as well study and try to get it done before life gets in the way for the summertime and everything. But I am definitely interested, Dakota, in checking it out and seeing what it's all about. Like I said, there's way too many rabbit holes you can go down in this, and I think I've done a good job of starting to go down more than I know of already, but with some help from you, I think I'm getting it a little more, so I appreciate it. Back over to you, Donald.
Comment?
Morning, Joe. Go ahead.
This is KE4ZYQ. Donald, if that was you, boy, you recognize one word of a voice's transmission. That's pretty good if that was you, Donald. The fellow that's in the HOA that's talking about being a general, you're not alone. I've been wanting to do that upgrade myself. But if you're in the HOA, don't know that you can, if you have a HF antenna or HF radio, get an antenna. I got a Comet toy box antenna. It's a vertical and multi-adjustable one, very small, not very big, and it has multi-sections to it. But look up Comet toy box antenna. It's got a counterpoise and a jumper cable, and I turned it into a magnet mount on a file cabinet. I actually, under my license for technician, was able to contact somebody in the Bahamas last summer on 10 meters within my bandwidth allocation with that toy box antenna on the first floor on a file cabinet. So there's no limit even as a technician to try to do HF or do something in the HOA. As Dakota might know, I have an attic antenna for my dual band 2 meter 70 centimeters. So there's where there's a will, there's a way sometimes. And I'm not sure who gets it. Go ahead, Dakota, take it. And you guys have a good day, good morning, good rest of the day. KE4ZYQ, over to you, Dakota.
I recognize the voice, Joe. I actually have that antenna, and I was able to, when I had a 705, I was able to work Ireland on 10 meters, 5 watts on my phone, so I know for a fact it works. Go ahead, Donald.
Well, my voice impressions or something, I don't know, but, yeah.
No.
Joe, that was Dakota that called you out. And, yeah, I live in a high-rise HOA, and I'm up about 90 feet up in the air, and I have an on-glass antenna for my base station, and it's pointing, well, it's not pointing, it's directed towards Detroit, so I can hit the GMRS side towards Detroit, and I can hit the amateur side towards Detroit. Right now, I'm working on my, I'm updating my fleet of Motorola radios and adding 70 centimeters to them and some BMR and other odds and ends, and then that'll be followed by a node. Getting back on talking around the world, I do have a dedicated Japanese Mac DMR radio that runs strictly on Wi-Fi. There's no SIM cards in it. There's no other cards in it or anything like that. It's strictly a DMR radio. It's made by Alinco, I think, and Alinco is made, you know, for those Wi-Fi things that you can put in your car and talk direct like the old Nextel systems, but instead of state or nationwide, these go around the world. So I have a few contacts on the Internet Radio Network band. It's called IRN in short, and I have a number for them. I have an ID number with them, and I talked to about two or three people over there just for fun, you know. I really don't have the full interest of making it part of my hobby. I'm getting out of radio in a sense because of my commercial work, and I just decided to pick up hand to keep it going. That's pretty much my track record. Yeah, I think it got a little mixed up, so I haven't heard from Phil in a while, so go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I like Dakota said earlier, I just got in, got a node, mainly because of where I'm, my location. Kind of hard to hit the repeaters, but just got that all squared away and trying to familiarize myself and learn everything there is to learn about that, or maybe not everything, but at least enough to get by. But so far, so good. Yeah, that's pretty much the extent of what I got going right now. Just like I said, trying to pick up as much knowledge as I can, and so far enjoying the hobby. So I think back over to you, Dakota. Real quick, where you at? I am, 17 in Van Dyke.
Okay, I'm just trying to keep tabs on your signal and your location, making sure everything sounds good. I think you're fine. That thing sounds pretty damn good. You get a little static every now and again, but it's probably if you're driving between buildings. Joe, if you're still listening, I got a Comet GP3 in the attic, and I just put an HF antenna in the attic, too, and I live on over 2 acres, so... you can do a lot with a little. You don't need much, especially if you just want to listen. But I did some FT8 last night just to check the PSK reporter, see how I was getting out, and I was getting all the way into Africa, Europe. I even had a ping in Australia on 20 meters. So just a 60-foot wire, 60-foot wire and a 5-1 baling. It's doing enough for the time being. So, it's a never-ending rabbit hole. It's all about how much money you want to spend and how much time you want to put into it, really. Donald?
Well, the rabbit hole for me is expanding my DMR footprint because I am on the statewide Motorola Moto Turbo system. That's a subscription. And that's kind of like a VPN network for me because the only people that are on it are people that I put on it. So there's myself and 4 other people that are on my so-called network. And, of course, it's digital, it's DMR, full quality, yada, yada, yada. But now I'm expanding that DMR. The next step is getting the node. I've already got my frequency picked out. I got my radio ID done. So once I get all my radios updated, or at least 2 of them, the mobile and the base, I'm talking to, you mentioned it to me. Sean's mentioned it to me. I've got a lot of guys that are willing to help me, and I'm looking at nodes online. I'm looking at people who build nodes and so on and so forth. I don't need anything absolutely ridiculous. I just want a node that'll do 2 things, one being All-Star and the other one whatever the next popular flavor is at Baskin-Robbins. Give it a try, but I don't want to go too far overboard. I just want to stay up to date, stay with the newest things that are out there and available. I would rather go forward in technology than backwards. I mean, we all looked at that mesh plastic thing, and we just found nothing in it to get out of it. But at least I'm willing to explore and look at that kind of technology and see what's out there. See what if not, it can benefit us or not, what we could use it for. That's like one of the things Sean was talking about when it came out. I was like, okay, we can't really use it for what this is, but use it for something else. And, those are the kind of things that interest me more than actually wanting to talk halfway around the world. Bill?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I dabbled down the mesh-tastic side also, a couple of guys at work and it's just a good idea, a neat idea, but it just didn't seem to do kind of what we were hoping. I think it was the range is just limited, and then obviously out where I live, there wasn't many, so it was hard to play around with it. Over to you, Dakota.
E4ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
I fifth earlier. I was sound like I was signing off, but I couldn't help but want to come back in briefly, guys. One thing that I was able to do, and I'm saying this non-bragging-wise, just amazed. Dakota, like you said, you got a Comet GP3, I think you said, in the attic. I checked you on input frequency. Boy, you booming in here over here, very good and clear, like you're in the room, literally. But, guys, the one thing that I didn't expect to do, but a summer or two back, I put in the frequency for the ISS going over. And I planned it one morning back a year or two ago. I planned it to try to get into the repeater of the ISS. I was hoping to get the astronauts, but they don't always talk on the radio. But I did get two stations contacted, worked them in New York and one in West Virginia through the ISS with a Yaesu 7250 or a Yaesu 991A, excuse me. I was able to get in there through the attic antenna, and I put two frequencies. Let me reset the repeater here. KE4ZYQ. I put two frequencies in for the receive safe frequency, so a help for the Doppler effect, and then one frequency for transmit. And I couldn't believe I got the two stations in New York and one in West Virginia to reply and contact and give me their call sign and hear me. But last summer, the ISS went over, and I heard an astronaut. And I wasn't able to get him to hear me, but a fellow ham in Berkeley, Michigan, got in, and I recorded my attempt, but he actually contacted them, and they heard him and identified him. So they worked each other there. So just thought I'd throw that in. Over to you, Dakota. And that was with the Comet GP3 with the ISS. Over to you, Dakota, KE4ZYQ.
Well, Joe, if you hear me on the input, I'm at Hall and Plank right now on my mobile, so that's probably why I'm booming. 25 watts, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm not too far from you. At home, though, I am able to open up UMP. Not great, but I can get into it. But yeah, I think I'm going to make this one my last year. I got to get going inside. I'm way late today, but good talking to all you guys. Phil, hope you got your note situated. Any questions, shoot me a text. And Donald, pleasure as always. Good talking to you guys, and I'll catch up with everyone later. NADBF, I'll be clear.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sign out, too. I got to make that long walk, which I think is about 10 steps from my bedroom to the kitchen. let me be honest, senior campus, they make it so you don't have to walk far. But, yeah, I get myself a cup of coffee and actually my second cup. And get going from there. So, Phil, welcome. Like I said, I'll look you up on my spreadsheet. If I, you know, have you and recognize you, I'll get back to you sometime today or tomorrow. Joe, thank you for your input. Always a pleasure hearing your comments. You're a wealth of knowledge and experience for us young ham operators in Dakota. Have a great day. Make the best of it. And again, just a great round table, well organized. W8RCY, first personal is Donald, located in Madison Heights. Everybody have a great day.
All right, Donald. Well, it was nice talking to you. Dakota, have a good day. I'm sure I'll talk to you later. And hope you guys all have a good day. And we'll talk to you all soon. I got to get going myself, pulling into the store right now, got to make one stop, so this is K8CMR.
Thanks for letting me jump in, this is K4ZYQ, you guys have a great day. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay happy, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught, is my motto. K4ZYQ clear, and thanks for the flowers there. 7-3.
W-O-J.
K-E-8-W-O-J, where have you been hiding in, man? And how's Rambo doing, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q?
Hey, Joe, good morning. Yeah, old Rambo, he's rowdy as ever. And I got the scars to prove it.
You know, the next time you go to a doctor's office for a yearly checkup or whatever, unless they already know, you better be careful because they might think you're doing self-mutilation or something. They might have to put you in a padded room or something or try to. You got to be careful now. You better take a picture or video of the cat and say, oh, no, 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 I'm not sitting here cutting my arms up with a knife. Aye, aye.
Yeah, Yeah, they always let your jacket or whatever off for taking a blood pressure kind of thing, and they see my arms, and they're like, immediately start asking, are you getting abused at home? Blah, blah, blah. Are you feel comfortable at home? And I got to laugh at them, say, no, I've just got a real rowdy cat that just kind of likes to tear into me. And then they still don't kind of believe me. They look at me kind of funny, like, who would let a cat do that, you know?
Well, what's play for a kitten is almost hand-to-hand combat for a human. But I have to laugh talking about going to a doctor's office for a checkup. I'm not going to do those yearly checkups that are Medicare-related. You don't have to do those to get your Social Security, I understand. But I used to laugh when they tell you, I'm going to tell you three things that have nothing to do with anything, but I want to see if you can remember them. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you three things and see if you remember my three things. And see if you can remember them, you know. But anyhow, back to you.
Yeah, the cardiologists always want you to do stress tests. You know, apparently they make good money at it. And you know, it's apparently no big deal to them, but it is to me. You know, they take you right to the edge kind of thing. And some nurse is standing there going, relax, relax. You know, she don't understand the process, which makes me even more nervous. You know, they pump that stuff into you, and they get the heart racing. When the heart starts racing, the body's going, hey, this guy's really working, man. We need more air. So you start huffing and puffing. Anyway, so now when the cardiologists keep bugging me for a stress test, I tell them, well, I'll tell you what, I make a deal. I got a car outside with bald tires on it. So me and you jump in the car, hit the freeway. We'll run it up to 120, 130 mile an hour for about 10, 15 minutes and see what happens. and then I'll come back and take your stress test. We usually drop it at that point.
KE4ZYQ. I hear you on that. I like the doctors. Well, the ones don't do it anymore. My primary don't do it, but a while back, they always want to do a stress test for me. I says, no, I can't get on the treadmill. I can't. Well, we'll do a chemical stress test. We'll put something in your body that tells your heart to race like heck and see if you can tolerate it, see if you don't blow a gasket. I says, nah. I swore off drugs of any kind that cause trouble and change my heart rate. I'll just look at my bills when the bills come in for my mail, for my utilities and that. That's stress enough, you know, let alone budgeting myself for groceries or anything. I said, I'm always stress test throughout the months and weeks, so now I'll pass on both of those. Thank you.
Yeah, Roger that. If you want some stress, buy yourself an Anytown 878 UV2 Plus. I still haven't got that cotton picker working.
Man, that's a bummer to hear, seriously. That's not good. Yeah, stress is trying to plan out not only your bills, but if you go out and try to get groceries, do it in between the rain, the storm, the tornadoes, the bad weather, the cold weather, which jacket to wear. That's stress enough. I don't need to get stressed. Now, I handle it very well. It's called get away from stress and don't deal with people with stress. So, I got it under control so far, to some degree. Back to you.
Yeah, I just sort of resigned myself to that 878 just being an analog radio. I just can't get DMR to work on it.
That's like the 991 awful. I use it mainly for HF. I can't remember last time I turned it on for 2 meters, 70 centimeters, whatever. So it's just strictly an HF antenna, or radio rather, right now. So, yep, it'll last a long time if I don't use it on anything but HF, maybe. Hopefully, cross my fingers.
Yeah, I don't bother with mine either. It's just too expensive. I've got half the price in the radio. Halfway through the warranty, I got half the price in the radio again in shipping and insurance back and forth to California, replacing them cheesy finals they put in there. So I just don't even turn it on anymore.
KEWOJ, KE4CYQ, will you, do you turn on the 300 you said? Do you use the 300 or is that what you're on right now?
Yeah, when I'm downstairs, I use the 300D, and but most of the time, I don't really, it seems like I haven't been turning them on downstairs, and the only time I seem to get on, I'm on that HT, the Chinese HT, puts out 10 watts.
Well, now that you mention it, sounds great, making the trip, full signal, full modulated volume, readability is great. I would have known you were on that one that you're using. But man, I got to get with you off frequency or something just to see what's up, what's new, what's different. I miss talking to you. I miss the guys. I don't know if they were on vacation today or what. Didn't hear any of the guys going to work on either repeater that I usually catch the regular gang, as you know, and catch the second group of people going on to Northfield to work. So I hadn't heard either one today. But that one, what's his name, Vince, on the way to the festival, whatever it's called. I talked to him quite a ways down to the Ohio, to Xenia.
Yeah, I missed him, apparently. He just said what day he was going. He didn't say what time, so apparently by the time I turned the radio on, he was long gone.
Yeah, it was pretty great how quality he came in pretty good. He said he heard me down towards the border and all that. So, well, the repeater we were on obviously had a good height and good coverage, good footprint. So, yeah, I caught him. I think he was elated because would have been a boring drive just looking at traffic and driving down there. So it seemed like he enjoyed the trip even more, which the one reason I did it. You know, I talking to people in the house, that's no big deal, but I enjoyed it too, so. Pass the time for them. Time goes faster in the traffic.
Yeah, he seems to be running a pretty decent mobile, too. I know he doesn't seem to have any trouble getting from Metamora down into Detroit and still sounding good.
KE4CYQ. Well, one thing I did, I don't know if I told you or you heard me say to somebody, what I did Friday morning and Saturday afternoon is I went on YouTube, and I look forward to doing it for the heck of it because I can't go down there. I don't have anything to buy, any money to buy anything, so, and the trip would be kind of a stressful there and back, let alone having to drive all one day or pay the expense of staying there for overnight, one night. But I watched the live stream video on YouTube on Wednesday morning or Friday morning and Saturday afternoon. And those guys, two different people, they walked through the whole thing. So next best thing to be in there was pretty neat. You know, it was, you know, just like doing Zoom or something with somebody. They had a live feed, literally, and walking around seeing all the booths, the venue, the buildings, the people, everything.
Yeah, I watched some of those. I don't know if it was last year or the year before there, but I think it was about 5 minutes in. I was bored to death. I had to find something else to watch.
I'll tell you the shocker that I think I heard more than once that there was a lot of people disabled or, you know, handicapped that were riding those electric carts, you know, the Amigos. And I heard from several people over time that they charged to rent them $75 a day. That's a lot of money to just go around on a scooter for however many hours. But I guess if you don't have one and you got to get around and you're handicapped, but they weren't cheap ones that I saw going around, which may have been their own, some of them. But $75, well, that's a lot of green to drop on a scooter, not counting the gas to get there and back, a hotel room, if any, and if you ever buy anything, man, you can take out a loan to do any of that stuff nowadays. Back to you.
Yeah, And I wonder how long the charge would last on those, because I know the ones in the stores there, it seems like they, even at full charge, they barely make it a tour through the store shopping kind of thing, and by the time you get back to the checkout, you're just about out of juice. I can imagine running around the fairground.
Well, reading up on some of those, just out of curiosity over the last year or two, most of them may last about 4 or 5 miles or 3 or 4 miles, something like that. Heck, on that ham festival there, I don't think that thing would last, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. Depends on how much you drive it if you turn it off, but turning it on and off would probably drain it more than just leaving it on. But lucky to go 3, 4, or 5 miles, maybe. And I don't know. It's $75 to have to park it somewhere and charge it. Then you got to pay to charge it, probably. You pay to rent it, pay to charge it. I don't know. I think I'd just try to walk around and then sit down every now and then. Back to you.
Well, it's something that seems to get everybody excited, and a whole lot of people wander over there to check it out. So I suppose it's a good thing. We hear about it for quite a while before and afterward. It's funny, there's only one that I know of. I think there was another one, last year or something, down in Florida also.
KEWOJ, KE4CYQ. There's one in Florida, I think Orlando or somewhere down there, like you said. And then there's another one in Texas and possibly one out in California, but I don't know, or Colorado, somewhere out west. But I think there's one in Texas area. I don't know if it's Houston or Dallas or one of those big cities. But I'm pretty sure there's one in Texas. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope, just the Ohio and Florida one.
By recollection, I think the one in Ohio is the biggest of all of them. It's gotten bigger every year. People all over the world, I think you said it too once before, people all over the world and all different, Canada and all over the United States go to that one in Ohio. So I guess because a lot of major companies usually show up, and I guess with the economy, it depends on which ones show up and if they have anything new. Or I can't believe that some of the major companies, if they do have a booth, don't bring some products in, especially new or otherwise, to sell. What better place to sell with the population than people that might buy if they have the money? But I hear a lot of people say, well, they got a new item, but you got to order it online. Well, why did I go to the slop? Or why did I go to the festival, ham festival, if I can't buy the unit I'm looking at? I don't know. They can't drag a lot of stuff, I guess, but you'd think they'd have at least several units of something new. Back to you.
I just keep thinking it'd be interesting to go down there in the middle of it kind of thing and just scan the UHF, VHF, and HF, I suppose, for all the people with HTs and mobiles and trying to keep in touch with all this other group and this group and that group. And I imagine the repeaters get pretty busy down there.
You know what I think? I don't know if this is true, but what I think or assume they might do, a lot of people that go down and meet a lot of other people, is they have their HTs, but they're doing simplex. One of the simplex frequencies, that's where you pick up all different conversations of people walking around in different parts of the area, the grounds, and they're on simplex. Because I know even the guys doing the filming that I've seen, they've talked to people that are there looking for a particular radio or equipment, and they talk to each other while doing the video sometimes. Other guys, and they'll say, hey, I found one of the radios you're looking for over here, and aisle something over here by the big tower. So I think there's a more, possibly more simplex than there are repeaters, because it'd be harder to talk to people than just pick a simplex frequency and say, we'll go on this one and talk in the park here. At least that's something I think they might do. I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah, that's why I said it'd be nice to scan the UHF and VHF and see what's going on there. Some lady just got herself a new little puppy, cute little booger. He's just excited, hopping and jumping and running all over the place. Wish I had that kind of energy.
I was hoping that in this day and age of technology, you and I would benefit from a body transplant, you know, just get a new 22-year-old body. I bet you can't guess what shows on TV right now. Well, maybe you can. I watch it just about every day. Guess which one?
Well, I'm guessing probably Leave It to Beaver.
KE4ZYQ. Well, you win the prize. Seeing that film, it's sad to hear or know that Jerry Mathers is the only living person of that show that's alive still. Even his brother in the movie wasn't that old, but I don't know what he died of, but he was a young guy when he passed away. Geez, last year, wasn't long ago. I don't know what it was, but boy. But Jerry Mathers, even all the supporting roles, Eddie and all those guys, Lumpy, those guys weren't that old in the movie. Of course, it's been around a while. But, geez, it's sad to hear that most of them are dead. And Beaumont there, the guy, the father, did a lot of directing. He did the directing of it. Pretty interesting. Pretty funny, though. I've seen these series over and over again, but still never gets too old. Back to you.
Yeah, Amazon Prime's got the whole series there, and every so often I'll go there and see the whole thing start to finish. Along with that, and every once in a while I like to catch Red Green on YouTube there. They've got the whole 300 episodes. It takes a while to finish that one.
Rick, I don't know if you ever watched it much, but there's another show just like Leave It to Beaver that can be addicting if you used to watch it to get old memories, and that's Father Knows Best, with all the family dynamics in that with the two girls and the boy, Bud. Those are crazy shows back then. Different dynamics, different premise of each movie back then.
Yeah, last day or so I've been watching Death Valley Days. I remember black and white. Remember that when I was a little kid too. I think it was it Saturdays? Saturday afternoons or something like that. I can't remember, but I didn't watch it back then, but I do now.
Well, to go back in history, memory lane there, did you ever watch much recently, if not a while back, the old Rifleman show? With Chuck Connors, is it? And his little son. That guy with that rifle, he did pretty good with that, twirling that rifle to shoot it, cock it, and shoot it there. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't remember who it is, but one of those streaming places has got the Rifleman series on it. I watched that one, too.
I guess that wasn't much of a Star Trek? I used to watch those with Shatner and all that, but to get interested in it anymore, it's like, nah, I don't even care to watch that much anymore. I watched it when I was younger, but it wasn't anything tremendous, you know, worth relating to. I watched them, but in Star Wars, I don't know. I haven't seen one of those in a while. But when they came out, obviously you got to see it because it's something new.
Yeah, that's for sure. I haven't really been a Star Wars fan, but I was amazed at all the video games that kind of sprung out from all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm going to get on out of here, Joe. I imagine if there's anybody else listening, we probably put him right to sleep. And my hand's getting pretty nippy, so I'm going to wander in and warm up a little bit and probably get a little bit of breakfast. So have yourself a good one there, and we'll catch you later. And I don't know if I'm going to fool with that 878 anymore or not. I think I'm just going to leave it as an analog radio.
I don't blame you there, Rick. It's good talking to you and hearing you, and you sound like you're breathing reasonably decent today, so that's good to hear. I kind of sense your, at least your breathing there on the radio, and glad you're still kicking around. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the QSO with you anytime, anywhere. So good to catch up with you. You give a little Rambo pat on the head for me. Tell, hey, this is from Uncle Joe. Uncle to a cat. How sick. Anyhow, yeah, we're probably putting people to sleep or waking them up with a nightmare or something. KEAWJ, KE4ZYQ, have a good rest of the day and a good day tomorrow. And hopefully we get into 70s temperature. I'm tired of 60s rain and gloom and doom. I want warm weather so I can get out and do whatever. 73KE4ZYQ, clear, but listen out.
Yeah, next week maybe. Rest of this week, supposed to be. Next 3 days is all rain and gloom kind of thing, and still 50s and 60s kind of thing, but I don't really mind. The heat knocks me right out. But anyway, take care, 73s, and we'll catch you down the road. 88WOJ clear.
Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 47 degrees.
WAFU. No way to talk to your friends.
Uh-huh. What's shaking?
Just stop by and drop off an XPR here in the hut today.
I have taken today off.
Well, then there's no reason to stop by the hut.
I mean, if you won't be able to get free tomorrow, then I guess you could just, you know where I sit. You could drop it off there. But if you're able to get free tomorrow, then no need to come early. So.
Got it. Okay. Very good. You doing anything exciting today?
Yeah, my son's going to help me with some yard work stuff. Worst possible day, right? I may still take another day off this week. I'll probably go in tomorrow, then I may take Friday if Friday looks like it's going to be a little better. He's on vacation this week and has offered any morning to help me. So there's a few jobs I'd like a little hand with. And so that's kind of the plan for today and maybe another day this week, probably Friday. I don't know. I got to look at the weather.
Very good. Okay, yeah, I'll pencil it for tomorrow. My schedule's pretty flexible. I mean, I got things I have to do, but none of them have a time stamp on them, so it'll work out well.
Copy you gentlemen's transmission about the retransportation of my radio, and thank you both. Have a great day. Your ARCY.
All right, let me get out of here before he gets here. He's just pulling up. Got a little bit of a late start. I was debating on whether to go in, but it doesn't look like the rain's going to be heavy enough to screw us up. So we will talk to you later. See you tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. I've got some other cool news, too, but not for the air. All right, W8FU.
Very
good. Call me on the phone when you get done with the yard work. And I agree with that. Do not give up the kids' help. My son was over here helping me with yard work. Nothing else would matter. So I get it. Cool. Hey, Don, NAKPP. Hey, Don, check your email. I sent you two emails. One, the version of the code plug that I suggest and a summary file. Copy. I am
good morning, 1000 hours, showers, 47 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy, 47 degrees.
KF8DRC from WDAKLO. Negative, copy on the KF8DRC, WD8KLO, frequency clear.
Good job. Is it digital or no?
Well, the digital, it does see 4FM off my radio, but I do have that hotspot so I can cross mode.
You want to try digital? I have digital. I can go on digital.
No, I haven't set that up yet.
How about that user? You think the user will do it too? Yes or no?
Yeah, they'll both do it. Both radios will do digital.
You ever do it on that 991?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many times. What radio are you on right now? Hey, you're cutting out there, Jack. I didn't get the last one.
9600
DYT. Okay, yeah, got you loud and clear that time. Yeah, it sounded good.
One day we'll find out because I have this, I don't know what kind of what do you have on that
I'm gonna give you a jingle on a landline here. WDAKLL will be clear.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees.
WT8X, this is W8PPT out there.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Showers. 48 degrees.
W
W8RJD, monitoring mobile.
W8FU, AB in here. Hey, what's happening? You're not out at your shop right now, are you?
I am not. I'm at home. I took today off.
Oh, okay. I'm not far from where we had lunch. It's just down the road. All right, well, I'll figure it tomorrow. So I made cables for both the computer and for the speaker. I guess I got a speaker working.
Okay, was that information I sent you correct?
Yeah, like I said, the speaker I had was ended in a 5, not a 6, but it appears to be almost identical. It must be a minor change.
Yeah, I found a 5. All I found was a 10 out of the Molex, and it was the same. So I just sent the schematic, you know, the actual service manual for the 6, knowing they were the same. I should have mentioned that probably.
Yeah, so I got that working. The only thing is, you know, it's got a little pot, in, you know, through a hole for volume. I can mount a pot to the case with a knob, and I'm going to remote that out to the case so I can use it as an actual volume control.
Sure, there you go. That sounds like a wiener. But, all right, very good. So, do you have all this stuff with you right now?
Yeah, it's all in the trunk of my car. So, we'll set for tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, I know the guys are getting together for a RSPC meeting. This afternoon, but I ain't gonna run up that way. So tomorrow it is, whenever you're in the area.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you want to get lunch after I'm done with work? I'm leaving work around 12:30.
Okie doke. We'll do that. Come by, and then I guess would we meet for lunch first and then go to shop after? Otherwise it could be, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock before we get to lunch. I don't know. Your call. I don't really care. But it'll change, you know, breakfast plans.
Yeah, I would say right after, before. Yeah, so about the time I get up there, probably 12:45, wherever you want to meet.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll be listening. Just give me a call, let me know, and we can find some place to meet.
All righty then. See you tomorrow. Enjoy your day off in this lovely weather. Ethiopia.
Yeah, the worst part is I took it off because my son's got the week off, and this was the day we set aside to do yard work. Like, great. So we made a couple of compost. You know, we filled up my big trailer with a couple of loads and got them to the dump, but just not a good day to be doing it. Figures. I mean, after baiting chicken, depending on how Friday is, but he's had the week off, you know, and he's not had a nice day in the, you know, the whole time, so if he gets a good day, he may want to take advantage.
I don't know. We'll see.
But I got at least the minimum stuff I wanted to do done. Rather than jump out, take one on the back of my throat. I gotta go get something to drink before I cough all over the radio. W8FU.
Alright. Catch you later.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees.
W3LNSW4XED.
W4FCD listening.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Showers. 49 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Showers. 49 degrees.
At 8 DDF.
I'm like 5 feet from UMP, so I'd hope so.
Unit is clear. I say 5-9 on that one. KZKG, I'm running through Armada.
Farmada.
Yeah, buddy, right behind a big John Green tractor.
The only thing I miss about living over there is all my hunting spots.
Yeah, but now you can pop Bandy from the backyard, can't you?
I don't... Yeah, probably. I only got one neighbor that's within 150 yards, and I guarantee she would sign a paper saying she doesn't care, but I haven't gotten that far. I did buy a crossbow though because I moved here, and I'm like, well, if anything decides to hang on the yard when it's hunting season, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to shoot it.
You're not going to shoot it. You're just going to dispatch its existence.
Well, I'll tell you what, this winter I will be trapping. I've got coyotes and fox in my yard almost daily. Always when I'm sleeping, of course. Midnight to 3 a.m. is typically when they're there. But I get them on camera all the time, and I would really like to trap some of them, so I'll probably end up doing that in the winter. And then
that's how I'll dispatch them. I don't think there's any rules or regulations on trapping on your own property.
Well, the red fox is, I think, are protected. But the coyotes, I think, are a different story.
Well, coyotes used to be year-round no limit, and then the DNR got soft, and they reversed that. Last I checked, that's still in place. So there's a season, so they can have pups, which is dumb. You shouldn't let them have pups, and you should be allowed to shoot the pups. Sad as that sounds, they do way more damage than good. And red fox have seasons. They have a fur harvesting season. They are much more regulated, much more protected, but they are still a game animal at a point in the year.
Okay, I knew there were limits on both. I just didn't know how that went.
Yup, I haven't shot a coyote in a long time, but wouldn't mind it. Last time I shot one, though, it was at about 2 o'clock in the morning with a thermal. So a little bit different than hoping I see one in my backyard.
Yeah, I know both like to get into the chicken coops and cause some issues. So I totally understand that aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have chickens by the end of the year, but with this rain and my yard not getting any progress, I don't know if that's going to happen. But ideally, I'll have a nice big coop up against the house, and that'll bring in all kinds of hungry critters.
KE8 VSI.
Come on, Greg, your turn. Welcome to the chat, KJKJO.
Good afternoon. I thought you got a bunch of dirt delivered, Dakota. Did I see that correctly?
Yep. Last week I had a dozer dropped off, and I got a 45 trains of dirt, and I'm debating on getting more. And the dozer's not been there because it's been horrible weather and kind of just sitting... sitting on a lot that's just got a bunch of piles of dirt on it right now. But yes, so making progress, just waiting it out.
All right, cool. Yeah, the weather's not been great for that. So, but, well, baby steps, I guess. It'll be fun when you do it. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure I saw that right and comment on it. So I'm kind of doing some desk work here, so I'd jump in and say hello to both you guys. KE8BSI, just monitoring.
Okay, on the flip, Greg. KCKGO. Dakota, with your chicken coop, you might want, instead of being right up against the house, I would move it 10 feet in from your back or side property line. Because if you have it up against the house, now you can have the critters, you know, the ferrets, or not the ferrets, but the weasels and the foxes and the coyotes, but you're going to end up getting some of those bitty little critters that like to destroy everything in your walls.
Greg, if you're around later and if I'm awake, I want to test out, I should stuff that MCOM in my attic for the time being, and I want to test out 80 on it. So if you're up for it, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if it does, I'll be very, very satisfied and probably leave it. And, yeah, that's a good point, Tom. I probably will move that thing way back. No, I don't know. Then I got a trench power. See? No? Yeah. Good thing I know an electrician. It shouldn't be too bad.
Okay, MCOM. I'm not sure what antenna that is, but yeah, I'm game anytime. Just let me know. We shall give it a whirl. And the trenching power and whatnot, yeah, you only get one first chance to do that. I would do that, like, first, or as early as you can in the process if you're going to put it away from the house, which I would do, too. So, fun.
And the only reason I'm saying that is I had a bird feeder out the country. They actually chewed into a case of soda that leaked all over the floor. It was a mess, and it was a bear getting rid of them all, including with traps and stuff. They would just sit there and stare at me underneath the house. So, yeah, once you get one mouse, you'll have an entire infestation. You can't get rid of them.
I'm just trying to build my redneck paradise, that's all. Chicken coop's on the list. Yeah, Tom, I remember when I first moved back home from college and got my first place on my own, it was, I called it the ghetto of Romeo. It was off of Spring Street, and it was a old apartment, which was basically a flat. I think they were quadplex units, and baseboard heat, no central air kind of deal, and it was infested with mice. I'd wake up in the morning with my dog, who was only 4 at the time. And we'd go in the kitchen, and we'd have to smack mice. It was crazy. It was like literally something on a movie. Turn on the lights, mice are running all over the counters. So I would smack them on the floor, and he would grab them, bite them, and kill them. And we did that for a couple weeks until I finally got through to the landlord, and she was in denial. And then they magically fixed some holes on the exterior of the building, and then I didn't have any more mice.
And what they did is they actually dug a hole through my cobblestone on the front. They dug a hole underneath that, came up underneath, came in underneath the crawl space in the living room. And then, because my house is an old farmhouse, so I got a Michigan basement. And, they dug a hole in my baseboard in my bedroom. They were behind the TV eating the cat food. They're eating the dog food. They're underneath the kitchen sink. They were everywhere. It was just, they destroyed probably about 4 or 5, binders where the paperwork, from everything. So after I got rid of that bird feeder and I bought one that stayed up on the tree and then I put it in the back of the yard, and no more mice.
Yeah, that's a critter I don't want to deal with. I'll deal with the big ones outside that can't get in the house, but I don't like the little ones that can sneak by me.
Yeah, if you can do the chicken coop, what you want to do is you want to get some little patio bricks. They're about 6 inches wide. And you want to bury those around the perimeter of your chicken coop and create a quote-unquote rat wall. And that'll keep them out. It'll keep the weasels out, too, because weasels like to dig.
That's the part I'm looking forward to the most, is bulletproofing that thing, because I used to get a lot of calls from friends of mine that had chickens and pictures of headless chickens that are all torn up and not eaten from their skin inside. It's always raccoons. So I'd have to go out there and trap them that night or whatever. But a lot of learned lessons. Seeing how they tried to keep critters out and how it didn't work. So, I agree. I'm going to probably go down 12, 16 inches around the perimeter, and I don't know what I'm going to use, but I would like to go down super deep and then have, like you said, pavers on the top, so if something tries to dig at the surface, they can.
You want the rat wall on the bottom, and then and then put your coop up on top of the rat wall. I mean, it's fine that you have dirt there. You got this, for them to pick it, scratch and anything else like that. For the top of the coop, you want that covered, whether it be with chicken wire or rabbit wire, whatever they want to call it. That way the hawks and the falcons can't get in there, because those are the ones, too, that are tearing up your chickens. The peregrine falcons come diving down and they'll grab it, and if they lose it, they already killed it, they just leave it there. And of course, you've got the coyotes and the foxes and the weasels.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth on, do I build a coop or do I buy one of the pre-made ones that I can buy that are pretty nice and all the expensive in. So, I don't know, hopefully, get through the grading process. Thank you.
understand you.
Between 25 and 24 every time. I'm a sales force myself. I just drop out. Sound like I'm not even talking.
Yeah, I still got you, though. Yeah, I mean, price it out and see what it is. I mean, if you're great at building stuff, then absolutely. You know, that's what my son's a carpenter, and I'll send you a picture of the goat house that he built. He could have almost lived in that thing. It was so nice.
Then I got out of there. I was on Richmond, and now I got to go back to Warren on that 26 mile road because Richmond's so nice. So, a little bit of shuffling around to get home.
Yeah, I'm stationary now. I got another 30 minutes before I got to go in and start setting up all my equipment for my meeting tonight.
I didn't catch that. What'd you say? Sorry. So, audio is super low on one.
Oh, I said I was stationary now. I just pulled into the parking lot across from City Hall. I got my special meeting this evening. Well, we got to discuss this new development that we've been kicking around for the past 2 years.
I remember you telling me about that. Good luck.
And, of course, there's always a lot of public interjection when it comes to that portion of the meeting, but tonight I just found out through my turkey classes and stuff that I can have a good buddy in the black and white come and attend the meeting and kind of keep things in order. And my tenure is up in July, and I was just asked if I was going to continue on for the next 3 years. I said, absolutely. You know, I can't leave all this behind and have it unfinished. So I want to get this all finished soon and then move on to the next project for the next 3 years. And you're in that dead zone again, KACHKJO.
Convinced it's the leaves, man. I used to be able to run 53 pretty much no issues whatsoever, and then there's a couple spots now where I just drop out.
Yeah, it's like me on Clarkston Road. I do good when I'm up on the hill, but when I drop down into that little valley that's right there from between Adams Road and Rochester Road, it goes up and down, and especially past the golf course, and it's just dead zone. I make it, I'm like below the antenna so deep that I'm running terrain.
That makes sense. Like, you're changing elevation, you're going behind roads and up. You know, I get it. You're going up and down. I was just driving on 53 just south of 30 Mile Road, and I don't know. Just doesn't like it. Although, yeah, I really don't know. I guess I have to switch over to Richmond or Romeo sooner.
Yeah, I can't hit Romeo until I'm actually almost on top of the thing. You know, I know it's a 300 elevation, but still, with all the, with the water tower and all that all around there, all those trees, yeah, it gets kind of crappy. So, but I, but the funny thing is if I hit Richmond, I can hit it from Rochester and 32, and I'm a little bit staticky, but once I hit the Quinder area right there, then I kind of clear up.
If it was perfect all the time, it wouldn't feel like radio.
I 100% agree with you on that one. That's what makes the joy of the hobby.
NADBF. It's the never-ending game of trying to improve your gear and your antenna enough to have minimal, if any, static, but still appreciating the fact that there's static at some point. Speaking of, have you had Warren crashing hard on you at all?
Honestly, not that I can recall. I mean, there's some sketchy areas when you're on the freeway that kind of buzz around it. You know, because I have open squawks on mine anyways. So you hear, you know, all that squawking and everything, and then it just disappears. Well, besides that, I haven't really had a crash on me at all.
It happened a couple times since I left the office. I switched over at Shaner, I think, and two or three transmissions where there was a super loud tail squelch just crashing. I don't know why. And then other transmissions, it's fine.
You didn't hear anything this morning when I was going out to the airport. You know, I didn't hear anything on there. I mean, I've heard it before, but that's a Quantar, though, so that thing's pretty rock solid. Take an earthquake to take that thing out.
Yeah, I know that's a good machine. I was just wondering, holy crap, what is all this traffic? 53 is backed way up.
Well, let's turn on the good old P25 scanner here and see if I hear anything on MASH.
I still don't know if that's a venture I'm going to take part in.
It's a radio. It's a new toy. I wouldn't mind playing with it. I said I got my SDR sitting on my laptop at home. I got the rabbit ear sitting at the other end of the table. My wife is like, what is that now? I'm like, a toy? So it's all set up for, it's strictly for trunking. And it works phenomenally well.
I'm all for the toys, don't get me wrong, but what it's going to cost to get into P25, I've got other things my heart are set on before I go down that road, like a really, really good HF antenna. I think that's my next priority.
Yeah, when you get a chance, thinking about radios, shoot me a dollar sign on DM. What you want for that, but Tevis 3, since you already got it all pre-set up.
I don't even remember what I paid for that thing. I'll have to look.
So the TYT version that I got probably about 2 to 3 years ago, I mean, it's that kind of idle until I met all you guys on FBI when I was off for a while. And I think I got it in Waterford. The guy turned it on, messed with it, said, blah. He was a fellow ham and out of Oakland. And he sold it to me for $60. And that was like 3 years ago. They're probably worth a little bit more now, especially the Retevis 3.
I don't remember what I paid. Mine is the GPS version. And I bought it strictly for satellite work, which you now have my arrow, so I'm not doing that, and I don't really do any DMR whatsoever, so, and if I wanted to, I've got my Kenwood and open spot, so, yeah, it's just sitting in the safe with, what do I have on it? I don't know if I've got, I think I have a BNC connector on it, and I might have an aftermarket antenna on it, but I should still have the box and all the factory goodies, like the cradle and rubber duck and all that.
Yeah, well, woohoo! I should just check it out on Amazon, and then there should be something on myself.
All right, yeah, I'll look into it and see. I'll give you a fair price. I'm not going to get rich on it. I want to say I paid, like, less than $125 for it, so it's not like it's some, it's not some flagship or anything crazy.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You know, like I said, that's all I'm going to use it for. I mean, I got my older TYT, and I use that basically with my open spot at home. But I still carry it on because it's a good radio. I like it because I have UHF and VHF programmed in it, too, along with 51 and 52 on DMR. So I can hit a lot with it. It's a good radio. I like it. It's basically my carry-all. But when I'm mobile, I got the one that Wally set up for me, the X5. DMR. Love that thing for DMR, and that DMR and UHF analog. And then, you know, I got my Alinco mobile, and then my little itty-bitty little Baofeng that I use that as a backup.
Hey, DBF. All right, yeah, I'll find something, or I'll put a number together for you. I do have the, I bought the programming cable for it, too, because it requires a specific Retivis programming cable, and I can't remember what the chipset is in it, but it doesn't like a standard K-connector cable. So I have that for it, too, so you'll be ready to go to plug it in and do the GD77 firmware and, you know, update whatever you got to do. So yeah, cool. It'll be yours.
Yeah, mine comes with that specific cable too. It says TYT on it, and of course it doesn't say Retivis because it's basically all it really is it's a USB to mini phono, and then a standard phono. You know, what is that, 3.5 millimeter, something like that. And the driver and the tip is actually in the radio. It's not in the cable.
I remember buying that. I was like, well, this is dumb. I've got a million K-connector cables, and I got to buy a separate one because it's special. So I've got that, too.
And it works for me. You know, even my Pro 197 scanner here, I have a, well, it's one of those multi-cables. I got it off Amazon for like $12. And I plug it in. It's got the U340 chip in it. Plug that in. Turns it into a COM port. And I got the mini phono for the scanner and also for the Alinco. And then for everything else, you know, I use it for my Baofeng, but for my TYT, I got to use the TYT cable.
Ever since I got my Kenwood THD75, I've been spoiled, and I don't want to go to anything that I can't charge or program with a USB-C, because the convenience of being at any computer and having whatever I need cable-wise at my disposal. I haven't had a V-card in there. I don't know why I've never used it, but just the fact that I can plug it in, load up RT systems, and be done with it is a godsend. But I've got a couple Yaesu analog only. Like I got an FP60, a VX6R, and I have to do a song and dance to program them. I got to turn them on, hold down the Monty button, and it drives me nuts.
KKKGO. I have two ICOM WC2As. I picked up a pair of them with two plug-in chargers and some batteries that are, you know, questionable, but I'll order some later. And those are all hand-programmed. You know, I just sit there, and I get pretty fluent in the hand-programming on them. You know, once you do one, you can do a couple of them. And I have a whole box of VX231-261s. VHFs. That I use that USB cable for, and I got the CE99 program, but I need the CE150 from Vertex Standard, but I'm not going to pay $35 just to get that software. I got to find where I have it somewhere else.
Aren't those are pretty old, aren't they? They're VHF only. Actually, never mind. ICOM still makes the ICOM V86, which is VHF only.
Before Motorola changed their website and their member login and stuff, I used to, when I called them up, they gave me a login, I set it up, and I downloaded CE150 and CE99, because I got the 261 and the 231s, two separate types of software, the same programming options in it, more or less, same GUI on them. But that laptop crashed hard. So I lost all my programming and all my information on it. So now I gotta charge one radio, pull it up, and then program all the, you know, and change all the programming in it. But that's for another day.
This is if you get your hands on those install files again, you stash them away somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I actually have a file server at home. I got like 4 2-terabyte hard drives in them, and that's all I use it for is file storage on my network. And I forgot to save them over there. I got kind of cocky with that laptop, and then I ended up dropping it, and then the hard drive crashed, and then I had it on another laptop, and the battery stopped charging. It actually swelled up and cracked the motherboard, so I had the hard drive, just don't have the software's in there, and I'm not sure if it's an encrypted drive or not, so we'll find out when I get some new cables. I got to go dig around for all my programming cables for external hard drives.
That might be my least favorite part of amateur radio is programming the damn thing. I just want to use them. But I'm almost home. I'm going to pull in the gas station again here and probably clear out for the rest of the night. I am beat. I fought a Sonos system today for 8 hours and finally won, and then that's when I decided I was going to go home. So had enough, and I'm going to go home, and maybe I'll catch Greg on 80 tonight. I'm hoping I can hear him, and I'm hoping he can hear me. So good luck at your meeting. I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be clear up to yours. NAPDF.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, when you get on 8, text me, and then if I'm done with my meeting or whatever, I'm going to try to load up my SDR and see if I can dial into 80 meters and see if I can hear you guys on there. So have a good rest of your trip home, and I will talk to you on the other side. 73KC8KJO.
Good evening, 1800 hours, showers, 50 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, cloudy, 50 degrees.
WSBM 993, WATG 959. Yeah, okay. You got it on out there, Chad?
Wrong service.
Wrong channel. Sorry about that, guys. TF8BLX. Switching channels now.
Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy, 49 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, mostly cloudy, 49 degrees.
N8IHA monitoring.
Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Showers. 48 degrees.